This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Tonight, it's not just Jim Inman. The educator is back in the studio officially and finally.
Hey, Jim. How are you, buddy?
I have missed you, man. Oh, how about you? How are you?
I'm great. Gosh, life got really busy there for about the last month, and it's the end of the school year. You know how that goes, and we had concerts and performances and graduations and just something all the
time. Have you had any Fridays off? Is that what MCC does with... Because we didn't really have any snow days this year, did we?
Oh, no, we had four. We had four snow days. That's why we're still in school, and that's why we're in school today. And unfortunately, well, fortunately, we love the children. That's why we're in school next week, too. We MCCS season's in school next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Last teacher day is Friday. But originally, if you recall, this was supposed to be it. Teachers were coming back Tuesday after Memorial Day. So we added 4 days. One was the day before Election Day that we threw in there that was a scheduled day off, and then these three next week will make up our four snow
days. I guess
days,
I was just thinking of the crazy winter from 2 years ago and that number of snow days. So.
Yeah, and then RBB, I think, even goes an extra week after us this year. So,
but I think they started later.
Check the HT. They had the Linton's already out of school, Jim.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're already done. So.
Wait a minute. Greene County is the school system that always shuts down. Is Linton under that umbrella?
No, they have five separate school districts over there. Linton, Bloomfield, Eastern Greene, Shakamak, and... So I'm forgetting
someone else. Meshack and Abednego?
Yeah.
You're the educator.
They don't have their own over there, and Linton is pretty compact, and they don't have to delay as often as our friends over in Greene County do. So anyway, hey, it's great to be here. It's great to be
glad to have you back.
I feel like I've missed a ton of – I mean, thank goodness I still tune in to the Bloomington Review. I usually catch you on Saturday mornings, to be honest with you. So it is it's great two-hour block of programming with you and our buddy David Hayes. So – anyway, it's great to be here, and there's a lot going on. It's Friday night. Bloomington is crawling right now. There's people everywhere, even with the students out of town. But it is absolutely beautiful outside, and it is a perfect Friday night. So I hope everyone gets out and enjoys the evening tonight, because we have a little bit of rain that I'll get to in a little bit for the rest of the weekend.
But hopefully the rain stays off, because at least in Indianapolis on Sunday.
Yeah.
Because as you've been hearing, if you've been listening regularly to the station.
Which I have.
There you go. Yeah. It is the 99th running of the Indianapolis 500. Race coverage starts at 11 o'clock on Sunday, and that is according to all signs in the weather being good to go. But then the race will actually start up officially just after 12 o'clock noon. Mrs. Brady is in the lineup yet again, and we've got a new singer of – or singers, I should say, of Back Home Again in Indiana. We'll talk a little bit about that in sports. Who that's going to be this year. So we've got the race this weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend, so it's a three-day holiday for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. You have 3 days? You have Monday off?
It is three-day weekend.
Attaboy.
But in my world, it means I don't have to go to the office.
So still work.
There's always the little email beep, know as well, also.
That's why I always have my phone on silent or vibrate, Jim. I don't like the beep.
Oh, it's so good to have Mr. Pillar back in the studio. Yeah. So we've got the race this weekend, Memorial Day. It is. Are you a guy that suffers with allergies?
I do a little bit. It gets runny and stuffy, and eyes water, and the whole deal. So yeah, I've kind of battled a little bit here also.
I have been fighting stuff for a few years now, and went to the allergist this week, and she's like, "Oh yeah, it's another bad season as usual," and I'm just itching like flipping crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, you survive.
There's Benadryl for that, Jim.
There's some sort of cream or something like that.
There you go.
Doing what you got to do. So, and happy belated birthday to you.
I appreciate that, yeah.
And happy belated to your wife as well.
Yeah, her birthday was this past week. She just keeps getting younger. But, man, I sure feel old, Jim.
You didn't cross a milestone or anything, did you?
No, I just made it another year, which defying the odds.
I'm just going to leave that alone. Oh, my goodness. Well, we have plenty to talk about here on the show. Lots of local news coming up in the next little bit. David Letterman has retired.
Yes.
And he went out. It was completely different than the Johnny Carson and especially Jay Leno.
Yeah, I've got it DVR'd. I've not watched it. I just saw the highlights that people were playing. But, you know, if you recall, Kelly and I got to see Letterman last year. We went to New York City, and I'll tell you, that's something that I'm so happy to say I got to do, because it was so much fun. And, boy, he was the best of the best. But then over the last couple of years, it's just on too late.
Yes.
I can't stay up anymore. But I think, obviously being from Indiana, he's a treasure here for our state, and I hope he finds his way back here a little bit now and then and does some stuff.
I'm sure he'll be hanging out at Ball State periodically and doing some
things. I was hanging out at Ball State earlier this week too, Jim, and I didn't see him, but maybe he'll come back.
Oh, goodness. Well, we're going to take a break. There's plenty in sports later on as well. IU Hoosiers baseball is in action as we speak right now. We'll give you a little bit of history about Memorial Day, and it's just a fun night. Mr. Piller and I are laying low and enjoying the next hour. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Check us out there, WGCLRadio.com. If you miss any part of the show, you can head over there and catch up there, as well as stream the station 24/7. We'll be back in a couple minutes with your news wrap-up. Stay with us here on The Bloomington Review. Welcome back to The Bloomington Review. Jim Inman and David Piller in the house.
Well, that was nice, Jim. I like that.
It's not as good as when I get in the mornings. It's been a long time since I've done it on Glass in the Morning, and they do the sports announcement.
Yeah.
Because then I usually back up from the microphone a couple feet and just fire and yell as loud as I possibly can.
I've been there when it happened, and it frightened me once. Because it was early, and I wasn't used to that. I think it was either over the holidays, and we were all in there. It was one of our big show Fridays when Glass was out.
And
it was
me, you, and
Keith
and
Rob.
And
it was a train wreck. The show is still on.
But I think we garnered more Facebook likes that week for the show than
we did. Yeah,
than is on the average.
I believe still owes us for that. So,
forecast for the weekend,
weather, Jim, if you're out at all tonight, Friday, you see how absolutely beautiful it is. Tonight, partly cloudy, low around 50 overnight. Saturday, mostly sunny, high near 75. Should be a great one tomorrow. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 57. Sunday, chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 2 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 77. And then we've got a pretty decent chance of rain on Monday with some thunderstorms possible. Temperatures near 80 on Monday, but the chances of rain about the same. Remember, easiest way, especially with the race this weekend, all your weather all the time, WGCLRadio.com will get you everything you need to know.
Absolutely. Well, in the local news, a Bedford father and son steeped in a concrete project conspiracy that bilked more than $440,000 from the city of Bloomington have been sentenced for their roles. Roger Harden received a 33-month prison term. His son got 1 year and a day behind bars. Third person charged as being the main conspirator, former City of Bloomington engineering project manager Justin Wyckoff, has pleaded guilty to one count of conspiracy to commit fraud and 10 counts of wire fraud. Wyckoff is going to be sentenced on June 4th, faces a federal prison term of 51 to 63 months, followed by 3 years on parole. Both of the Hardens cooperated with investigators, according to the article in the Herald Times this week, which reduced the severity of the sentences imposed Monday in U.S. District Court in Indianapolis. They pleaded guilty to one count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud. Roger Harden will be on parole for 3 years after he gets out of jail, and then his son will serve 2 years on supervised release. They've moved out. The younger Harden has moved out and forfeited ownership of a home in Bedford, submitted about a $5,500 bid bond check toward his part of the restitution for that. And according to court documents in the case, of the $807,000 the city paid to Reliable Concrete from 2011 to 2014, $300,000 was for work that was never done. Plea deals call for a total of $446,000+ in restitution to the city of Bloomington, and all three men are collectively responsible for paying the money back.
What's
justice in action.
There you have it. Additionally, in the law front, Jim, Daniel Messel's lawyer wanted $10,000 to pay an investigator to help gather information in the murder case against her client, but instead she's been given $3,000 for her initial budget. Messel was charged with last month's beating death of Indiana University senior Hannah Wilson. The 22-year-old's body was discovered by a passerby in Brown County early the morning of April 24th. A roommate reported Wilson missing that day. During a hearing held this past Wednesday in Brown County Circuit Court, Bartlesville-based attorney Dory Marion, appointed as the public defender to represent the 49-year-old Messel, sought funds to hire an investigator. Brown County Prosecutor Ted Adams said he thought $10,000 was excessive given the county's limited funds. Judge Judith Stewart said a $3,000 cap that could be increased if the money gets spent and there's still work to be done. Marion, one of several lawyers who work as public defenders in Brown County, said she has been involved in three previous murder defenses. Charges were dismissed in two of the cases, and the defendant pleaded guilty in the other. Messel was not present in the courtroom for Wednesday's hearing, but appeared via a video link from the Brown County Jail. The next hearing in the case is set for July 22nd.
On the education side this week, Wednesday, an email was sent out from Matt Wolf, board vice president of the proposed charter school Seven Oaks Classical School, announcing plans to withdraw the school's application. The charter application was set to be reviewed at a meeting by the Indiana Charter School Board 3 o'clock on Wednesday this week. In the email, Wolf said, quote, "We are currently exploring all options and looking to make a decision regarding our next steps in the coming weeks regarding how we will meet the goal of opening in the fall of 2016. Now, leaders of the proposed school were denied an application last fall with the Indiana Charter School board members citing holes in the education and business plans, among several other concerns. School officials submitted an updated application earlier this year, which included more board members, the downsizing of the school to a kindergarten through sixth grade structure, a new lunch plan, and changes to the educational plan." So in short, Mr. Educator, it's not so easy to start a school, is
it? It's not, and this was planned to be over in Ellettsville, the exact area you would probably know better than I would. I believe it was over near the, what they call that, the Landing or something like that?
Eagles Landing, old elementary school.
I think it was in that direction, but they still had some issues and some questions. And obviously, again, being in the public education sector, I know that Superintendents DeMuth and Wilcox both had concerns about this and about public money and public tax dollars, especially because MCCSC is a referendum benefited district about money for our students and our public schools going towards that programming. So, I really don't want to go too much further into it, but just to say that there were some issues, I think, that they recognized on their own. Mm-hmm. One of your former teachers, Mr. DeMoss, mm-hmm. is on that board that helps determine that those charters. And so it's great having educators as a part of that process.
Right.
And I think the best thing is to have lots of opportunities for kids. And luckily, we do have that in the Monroe County community with lots of other schools beyond RBB and MCCSC. So
glad to see.
Yeah. Something else, Jim, that we talked about when it happened, when they announced what they were going to do with the hospital. If you remember when we talked about this, one of the first things you and I said was, what are they going to do about the traffic,
mm-hmm.
especially on game day? Well, they had a plan.
They heard us.
They did. They must have. I appreciate that.
Great.
So when Indiana University and IU Health announced plans to build a new hospital and academic health center off of the 4546 bypass, one question that came up more than any other was about the traffic. "Traffic being an issue on game day is the most common question that we get," said Tom Morrison, vice president for capital planning and facilities at IU. "In February, the IU Health Systems Board of Directors determined that building a replacement facility on the current hospital footprint along West 2nd Street would not be feasible. In April, hospital and university officials announced the two entities would join forces to combine healthcare delivery, education, and research in one location, which happens to be along one of the main routes for IU football and basketball game traffic. The bypass was recently expanded from 2 to 4 lanes, and that will make handling game day and hospital traffic easier to manage," said Tom Makuta, Planning and Transportation Department Director for the City of Bloomington. "Fortunately, the bypass was widened, making us well-positioned for capacity. Ambulances with their flashing lights and sirens shouldn't have any problems getting through," Morrison said. "Ambulances take care of themselves." But, Jim, there's a but.
Yes,
"The big concern is people driving themselves to the hospital. If you're not in an emergency vehicle, no one's going to pull over and get out of your way. That's why one lane in each direction will be designated for game traffic, and the other lanes will be designated for through traffic. People going to the hospital on their own, generally speaking, there will be always a through lane," Morrison said. Morrison went on to say, "Anytime you put that population base in an area, it will increase traffic, of course. But it would be an increase on any street. Wouldn't you rather have it on one that's upgraded to the level of that of a state highway? If you're going to build a regional health center, you want it on your most accessible road," he said. "Challenges will come at the time of events. Hospital access will be a big part of the planning process as we deal with an event." So that's really good to see. And I've said this for a while, and I certainly don't mean it disrespectfully. I've just kind of said it. Here at IU, with the exception of maybe Purdue and Ohio State, when it comes to our football games, we don't have giant crowds anyway, because
right.
I've always had concerns about our ability to handle those crowds. It's not a smooth traffic flow for football game day. It's not a smooth traffic flow for basketball game day around here. So many one-way streets, so many other things that get in the way. You're talking Penn State, Michigan. They have long roads that lead into their stadiums. And we don't have that here. It's kind of this big square where these facilities are being built. And as you see the development that's happening over on the northeast side of campus, There's more buildings going up, and there's more with Assembly Hall that's going to limit some parking. Right. And obviously with the baseball and the softball complex going in and the other things that are happening at the old Simbauer site, so much going on the IU campus that this parking thing is a big deal.
Some fitness news. Do you want the good news or the bad news first?
Well, Jim, here's some good news for you. Kelly and I have been going to the Y in the mornings quite frequently. So the alarm goes off at 4:40 a.m. and we're there to hit the Y, and we have a big time over there. There's no one there. It's beautiful.
Well, then I'm going to give you the good news first. The American Heart Association has recognized the city of Bloomington and the Pillars as the Pillars of Bloomington as a gold-level, fit-friendly work site for such initiatives as offering employee physical activities, increasing healthy eating options at work, and promoting a wellness culture. It's the second time the city's received the award since 2010 through the AHA's Start Walking Now initiative. The city holds an annual race to places around the world to get employees active. This year, city departments are competing to see who will walk the 3,800-ish miles to Anchorage, Alaska first. Mm-hmm. Last year, the city departments walked, so to speak, to Bloomington City, sister of Pasoltega. Am I pronouncing that right? Nicaragua?
Well, sounds good.
Okay. Of course, we also have our health and wellness fair and lots of things in the community. That's the good news. Bloomington is on a healthy side there. But according to USA Today, Indianapolis has dropped from number 46 to number 50, becoming the least fit major metro area this year. That's according to the American Fitness Index. Rankings based on outdoor exercise options, smoking, obesity, diabetes, all these different things. Number 5, Louisville, Jefferson County, Kentucky. Number 4, San Antonio, Texas. Number 3, Oklahoma City. Number 2, Memphis. And that's because they've got good barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And number 1, Indianapolis. There.
I'm surprised by that, Jim. I really am.
I know. I kind of was a little bit, it doesn't really make sense.
There's
but
a lot going on up there.
And Washington, D.C. is one of the most fittest cities, but they've got all the running.
Drive. You can't drive anywhere. Right. So, yeah, maybe that's the problem, that Indianapolis is a nice drivable city, but it's also a beautiful walkable city. One more thing downtown here in Bloomington, Jim. El Norteño, a Mexican restaurant located in downtown's former Princess Theater at 206 North Walnut, has closed. Owner Socorro Vallejo confirmed to the HT on Wednesday afternoon that the restaurant's final night of operation was Saturday. The eatery has been closed since. Vallejo said she made a personal decision to close the restaurant after 12 years in business so that she could rejoin her family in Monterey, Mexico. "I'd like to thank Bloomington for all the years of business," she said. She and her sister originally opened El Norteño in 2000 as a Mexican grocery store under the same name at 1210 South Walnut Street. Vallejo said she simply found herself getting homesick for family once again and started planning her return home a few months back. "I'm the only one left here in town," she said. "I'd have left the restaurant running if I could, but unfortunately that wasn't the case." Vallejo says El Norteño's employees already have started finding employment elsewhere, and she thanked them for their loyalty as well. "They stayed here with me until the last day." Jim, Prince's Theater, in case you didn't know, was built in 1913, was a performance, vaudeville, and movie theater until it closed in 1981, according to cinematreasures.org. It was added to the National Register of Historic Places in 1983.
Vintage old theater.
You ever been there to eat?
I've been in there. It's been many years ago. A friend of mine had their wedding rehearsal dinner, I think it was, there.
Oh.
But I think it was back when it was Leslie's Italian Villa.
Oh, yeah.
At the time.
We went there to eat. It's pretty
it
good.
Is.
Sorry
it
to
is.
See it go.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's give you a little bit of pop culture love. What video game turned 35 years old this week? We'll talk a little bit about David Letterman and his retirement. Also, I want to see if Mr. Pillar would be interested in this certain kind of restaurant that just opened up in New York City. So we'll talk about that. Memorial Day, the race, much more. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. For the younger crowd in 2015, David Letterman has obviously been part of their generation for years and years and years. And when he retired on Wednesday night this week, it was after 33 years, I think it was, of late night broadcast. And, of course, he spent about the first 10 or so on NBC right after Johnny Carson. And then if you weren't around during that time because you're young and all that, you missed out on the Letterman versus Leno battle of who was going to head up the Tonight Show. And
HBO, I think it was, did a movie called The Late Shift. Did you ever see that? Remember that?
I know which one you're talking
about. Yeah, that was really interesting. Kathy Bates was in it as Leno's
Kathy Bates.
Yeah, as Leno's cutthroat agent that was really one of the driving forces behind him getting it, supposedly. But yeah, it was pretty good stuff. It was neat. And I've always been a Dave fan. Really enjoyed a lot of his show and the humor. And like I said, we got to go there last summer and went to the Hello Deli and just kind of everything about that. Great show.
Yeah.
Just a ton of fun. And his open, personable, friendly demeanor during commercials and before the show and all that was really surprising after what you kind of hear about him, that sometimes he's curmudgeonly, but at the same time, he just couldn't have been any nicer or hospitable, and he was so friendly.
So did he actually engage the audience on the commercial breaks?
Absolutely.
And for you've been to the Letterman show, as you mentioned. I got to see Conan O'Brien back in, I think it was 1999, who Conan came in to fill David Letterman's spot when Leno took over The Tonight Show. And if you've never been to a television show taping, at least for these late-night shows, it's pretty much one track. You know, when those commercial breaks happen, it's usually not longer than a regular commercial break.
I mean, it's quick.
If they say it's 2 minutes of ads, you have a two-minute break, and then they keep right on going.
Hey, and, you know, it's really the same way around here, Jim. You know, when we have the early tape, the Bloomington Review, during those breaks, lots of things happen during that time. Well, it's weather. I mean, there's weather. There's things like that. There's things that, not this time of year, but otherwise. The coolest thing you mentioned, Conan, the coolest thing I think I may have heard during this whole thing with Letterman. Did you hear what Conan did the other night?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the best. When Conan came on the air, and I think Conan comes on, is he on at 11:30?
He is on at 11.
He's on at
11. Because Letterman comes on at 11:30.
So when Letterman came on at 11:30 the other night for Dave's last show, Conan said, David Letterman's last show is on right now. Hit your DVR, record us the rest of the way, and change the channel and watch Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And my God, I mean, people at TBS probably had heart attacks all over the place. But at the same time, that is why Conan O'Brien was always my second favorite late night, because he was funny and he seemed to really have a respect for the business and a respect for his forefathers and in the genre.
Exactly. Jimmy Kimmel paid tribute. Jimmy Fallon did as well. But the big black spot where nobody heard really from was Jay Leno.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there had been attempts to reach out to Leno to have him come on, maybe not on the last show, but at some point. And Leno, they've never sat across from each other, so to speak, on a couch
to
talk since 1992, except for the infamous Letterman-Leno-Oprah Super Bowl commercial, if you remember that.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Here's the thing, though, that gets me, and, you know, as a random eBayer that likes to find crazy stuff, the late show set was completely tossed. It was in dumpsters within 2 days. Friday, USA Today, less than 24 hours after the David Letterman wrapped up his last show, the home of the set was already in the dumpster. And they literally showed on USA Today's article pieces of the bridge that was behind him and the lights and the buildingscape and everything, or the cityscape. Everything was thrown away. The only thing that they preserved was his desk.
Yeah, I can't believe the people from the show didn't take that stuff.
I can't believe that that wasn't auctioned off as a charity item
for
something.
Yeah. Well, some people don't get into that stuff like we do. But
I guess not. So, but speaking of New York City, to change gears just a little bit, this came up earlier this week, and I thought it was kind of interesting about there was a new restaurant opening up in New York City this week, serving 24/7 breakfast sandwiches.
Jim, I saw that on www.facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. It was on the Bloomington Review's website.
You got queued up on that, didn't you?
I did. He just lofted it right there. So check out that Facebook site, and you can see this article for yourself. But, Jim, breakfast sandwich-wise, you know, I don't eat eggs. And so when you don't eat eggs, that really kind of eliminates a large majority of traditionally made breakfast sandwiches. So I'm generally going with a chicken biscuit if I have a breakfast sandwich. So if they can pull a chicken biscuit off at midnight or 2 in the morning or 4 in the afternoon, whatever, I'd probably be in line for that.
Sandwich meal, I mean, it's New York, so it's obviously going to be a little bit more expensive.
Probably $14, yes.
Yes, you're pretty much right. I mean, I'm looking at the mammoth sausage, bacon, pepper jack, onions, jalapenos, tomato and a ciabatta roll, $11.50 for something like that.
You
know, it's something different.
It is.
That's all I'm saying about that. Oh, but speaking of a little bit of pop culture love, also as I grab the sheet of paper here, did you ever have an Atari?
Yes, a hand-me-down Atari. But my first system was a Nintendo, regular Nintendo.
1980, May 22nd. Today was the arrival of Pac-Man.
Oh wow.
So, according to this article, I think it was from USA Today also, five facts about Pac-Man. Was inspired by pizza. Doesn't surprise you because you can see the mouth there. Apparently, Pac-Man was created to attract female players because they wanted Pac-Man to be the one trying to save his girlfriend or wife or whatever in the
Miss
game.
Beckman. And that's Miss Pac. Girlfriend is Miss.
Yeah. There was the 80s cartoon where they were married. That's why I wasn't sure. Originally called Puckman, but they changed it for marketing reasons. We'll just leave it at that.
Yep.
It's the most successful coin-operated arcade game ever. More than 293,000 Pac-Man machines were built and installed worldwide between 1981 and 1987. It's estimated the game has been played 10 billion times, and the high score that you can receive is 3,333,360, according to the official Pac-Man website. There was a song written by Buckner and Garcia called Pac-Man Fever, 1982. Mm-mm. I don't remember that being even a one-hit wonder,
I do not.
Let alone anything else. But as I mentioned, there was the Pac-Man cartoon and Pac-Land or something like that, and the ghost and all that other stuff. So I was a Pac-Man addict when
I played it on the you know, on the arcade game style things, yeah.
And I still, once I hit my $1 million of wealth or whatever you need these days, 10 million or something like that, I still want the sit down table version.
Yeah, I remember that.
I've seen that of Donkey Kong. I've played Pac-Man on one of those a couple times. Yeah. Yes, that is the epitome
always
of
at pizza joints and stuff
it
like
was.
That.
It was. It that's exactly right.
There you go.
We're going to take a break, come back, talk a little bit about Memorial Day and the history with it. Then later on in sports, we'll talk IU Hoosiers baseball there in the Big Ten tournament up in Minneapolis. That game started at 4:30 this afternoon. We'll also talk about the Indy 500 coming up and much more. Stay with us. We'll be back here on the Bloomington Review. If you're catching the replay of the show on Saturday morning, you may be headed out early to do... your decorating at cemetery of family members and friends and loved ones who have passed away. It is Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people are going to be out traveling around the area, not only doing barbecues and family reunions and get-togethers, but also paying respects to those who have passed away. And found a little bit of information about Memorial Day, just kind of sharing what's going on with the holiday. It originally was not called Memorial Day, but actually called Decoration Day. Back in the time of the Civil War, flowers were placed on the graves of Confederate and Union soldiers to remember them and their sacrifice on the battle. And it was designed to honor the Civil War dead, but then it was changed later on to recognize all Americans who gave their lives for the service of the country.
And you just mentioned a second ago that some of the traditions and customs that people generally think about are probably more social in nature with the barbecues and the day off. But there are the official common traditions. The first is lowering the flag to half mast until noon and then raising it to full mast until sundown. And the other tradition is playing taps at military funerals. So a couple other things that came from that, Jim.
And it is legally required to reserve a national moment of remembrance. Back in 2000, Congress passed a law that at 3 o'clock, P.M. Is the time to stop and pause to remember those who have passed away. That's according to Time magazine. There's a variety of things with it as well. Of course, a lot of people associate Memorial Day with the Indianapolis 500. Indianapolis businessman Carl Fisher started the 500 race, and the first driver to win was Ray Heron, who averaged, this is an amazing speed, 74.6 miles an hour. I mean, he was burning up the track back in 1911.
Yeah, that's like you over there on College Mall Road.
And the race back then took 6 hours and 42 minutes to complete. So, Indianapolis 500 absolutely tied to the weekend.
Well, you know, and then the original date for the Memorial Day holiday was set at May 30th, as this was a day that flowers all over the country were in bloom. But since then, the date has been changed to the last Monday of May, and obviously Memorial Day this year is this coming Monday, May 25th, and all weekend, Jim, there will be lots and lots of people out on the roads, hopefully driving responsibly.
Yes.
They're estimating the largest, of course, that this is happens every year. They're estimating the largest number of travelers. Gas prices are down over a dollar from last year. So last year, 36 million people traveled at least 50 miles or more during the Memorial Day weekend. And I don't know who keeps track of that stuff.
probably AAA.
Probably
AAA. Like
but anyway, be careful if you are out on the roads. And I hope you do have a safe and happy Memorial Day and take some time to remember all those people that have sacrificed quite a bit for this
Absolutely.
Country.
Speaking of travel, course, I've been going up to Indianapolis about once a week for work, and 37 is just, you just manage it. But now that you're living over in the lovely area of Ellettsville, the utopia that it is, are you getting finding your alternate ways with all the construction they're doing on Highway 46?
Has that impacted you? It's not really impacted us that badly. I think any way you slice it, for me to get from my house to Jackson Creek, it's 21 minutes. It's 14 stoplights. If I go the bypass College Mall direction, I can go down 37, of course. That's mm-hmm. fine, too. And then there, you can, of course, go through town. So there are plenty of ways for me to get where I need to be to avoid some of the traffic that's happening. But, again, as you probably covered before, this is the best time of the year in Bloomington, the summer.
Yes.
When the population is a little lower. We love the students.
We
so
do.
If you're listening and it's summer school,
we do.
We love you. We need you. We're glad you're here. But at the same time, it is nice to get out a little bit and have some shorter waits, I suppose, mm-hmm. just in general.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Reds coverage here on the station, Indy 500, IU baseball, lots of things to talk about, plus down in French Lick, senior PGA
yeah.
as well. So
they're seniors, but they're active seniors, Jim.
They absolutely are. We're going to take a break with more. Come back here on the Bloomington Review. Sports it is. Mr. Piller, take it away. I'm just going to let you fill up the rest of the show.
I don't remember how to do this.
I'm going to just go and get a beverage.
There you go. Hey, big sports weekend here at WGCL Radio. Of course, tonight right after the show, the Reds are on the radio at Cleveland, 7:05 first pitch. So my main man, Dave Duff, will be tuned in. I hope you will be too. Tomorrow afternoon, Reds baseball also at Cleveland, 4:05. And then we're back with you Tuesday night. When the Reds host the Colorado Rockies, 7:10, then back again. Looks like Friday and Saturday of next weekend, 7:10, 4:10, as the Reds host the Washington Nationals. Jim, Reds scuffling a little bit, but they're ahead of the Pirates as we speak right now for third place in the NL Central. But Jim, my Cubbies are in second, and they're not
Your
doing
Cubbies
too badly.
Are hanging very well.
It's really an enjoyable season to watch thus far. But anyway, always, as you know, WGCL Radio, your home for Reds baseball coverage. Also, Jim, WGCL is the home for the 99th running of the Indianapolis 500. Carb Day today, so you've seen all those things on the news and heard all about Carb Day. Maybe you're there. Hopefully you are. But coverage of the 500 starts at 11 a.m. The race is at noon. God Bless America with Florence Henderson at 11:52. The national anthem, Jordan Sparks, I believe she was one of those reality show, American Idol, exactly. Yeah.
Voice or something.
And then, hey, back home again in Indiana, Straight No Chaser. How cool is that?
The original Straight No
yes.
Chaser. Yes.
So as much as Jim Nabors is a part of the nostalgia that is the 500, if I'm not mistaken, he lives in Hawaii and just mm-hmm. could not make that trip anymore. So
he's getting up there in
yeah,
years.
Yeah. So Straight No Chaser will be doing the honors this year, and I bet that will be a pretty awesome show just for them. 12:10 on their performance and the race. We hope to have green flag racing at 12:15. We're going to watch that weather. Mm-hmm. Showers and thunderstorms look like they're going to be a little later in the day. We certainly hope that that's the case. If you're listening to us on Saturday morning, Jim, you know the result of the IU baseball game. It's Friday night. We still don't know the score of the game. The game is on as we speak right mm-hmm. now. So the Hoosiers are in the loser's bracket because of a loss to Michigan earlier in the tournament. But they have a chance if they can get by this one tonight after beating Ohio State yesterday that hopefully – the Hoosiers can keep on rolling through this. Every win, it's the same as in basketball that people probably follow a little bit more closely. To get into the big dance, if you will, for the NCAA baseball tournament, just need to get these wins. And IU has some great wins against Ohio State, against Maryland recently. But getting a few more wins in the tournament this weekend certainly will not hurt our IU baseball team. IU basketball news from earlier in the week, if you missed it, Stan Robinson, who announced shortly after the season that he was transferring, has picked his new destination, and that's going to be Rhode Island. And so he's going to be a Rhode Island Ram. Rhode Island is the alma mater of Lamar Odom, who, if you recall, was married to one of the Kardashians. That was kind of one of his claim to fame. He played for the Lakers and the Clippers and a couple other stops. I think he's out of the league now. But most importantly for many, he was married to a Kardashian. I can't tell you which one. It's not Kim. But it's this is where we need Kelly.
They all start with K.
They all start with K. It's Courtney or Chloe, and I'm sorry, I know that, Jim. You're looking at me like you've never seen Star Wars, but you know all three Kardashians.
Actually,
I know
I think
the look.
There's more because you've got. And this
well, there's
is what's,
there's Kendall Jenner, Bruce's daughter, and then I think there's another one. Plus there's
Kylie. I think.
Yep, and then there's the boys that Bruce had, Brody and something else.
I don't.
Anyway, and then there's another Kardashian boy. They're
everywhere.
You know what, Jim? It's tough to keep up with them. It's a good thing they have a show that helps you do that. So anyway.
Oh. Glad
we
to have
digress.
You back, Mr. Pillar.
Back to sports, Jim.
Yes.
I can't talk about that anymore.
It's okay.
Senior PGA and French Lick, and I've seen a lot of our friends on Facebook have been taking some awesome pictures of what's happening down in French Lick. But a huge, huge, huge thing for good friend Kim Gray and all the folks down at West Baden and French Lick to have this senior PGA tour on those beautiful, beautiful facilities they have down there. Hopefully the weather holds for them. But boy, Thursday wasn't bad. A little chilly. But no rain, and then today, of course, has been beautiful. So hopefully they get all their activities in, and I know that's going to be good stuff and exciting. So besides that, we've got NBA playoffs. So we've got the Hawks and the Cavs tonight. Golden State's up 2-0 over the Houston Rockets in the West. So your finals are probably going to be, if I had to pick, probably going to be LeBron and the Cavs against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, and then hockey. Jim, I got to admit, I just don't keep up with that close enough. I think the Ducks and the Blackhawks are on one side. The Rangers and the Lightning are on the other side. So, again, there's your final four. Some combination of those teams will be rolling into the NHL finals here coming up in the next week or two. Not a whole lot of other big news. The draft lottery was there, and IU won't have any players that are going to be involved in that as far as top draft picks. But Minnesota Timberwolves, number one pick. The Lakers, number two pick. Philadelphia 76ers, number three, and the New York Knicks, number four. And the Pacers, if I'm not mistaken, I believe have pick 11. Could be wrong. Double-check me on that, everybody. But if that is the case, and I believe it is, the last time, well, not the last time, but one of the times they picked number 11, they got a young man from California named Reggie Miller. So hopefully Larry Bird can pick another Paul George, another Reggie Miller. And if you forget, the Pacers drafted Kawhi Leonard, who was just named the NBA Defensive Player of the Year, and they traded him to the Spurs for George Hill before he ever played for the Pacers. So the Pacers can draft, and I hope they're able to snag someone up with this pick.
Before we take our break, did you see the photo that hit social media this week of Coach Tom Crean talking to the
yes,
two young
I
individuals?
Did see that. Yeah, over by Pete Ellis and 3rd Street.
Uh-huh.
Pretty
because
cool.
I think the story was that they were homeless, if I'm not mistaken.
There's a lot of panhandling over there in that area, so I'm not surprised. Yeah.
It was, you know, some, I don't know who took the photo, where it originally came from, but just showing him talking to young people who probably need a little bit of encouragement that day. And it's
check that out. Look that up. It's worth looking up. And as is a totally, totally different situation, J.J. Watts, the NFL Defensive Player of the Year, check out the thigh bruise that guy has. First of all, his thighs are bigger than my waist. Secondly, this bruise is amazing, and it just goes to show you what athletes go through. So there's a couple things that maybe we can find those pictures, Jim. Maybe we can get those on www.facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview.
We will definitely try for it. And last thing real quick, talking about Letterman earlier, Peyton Manning was one of
yes,
his final
yes,
top
cool.
10 guests
how
as well.
Cool. And yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. We'll wrap up the show. Stay with us here on The Bloomington Review. Just a couple of minutes left in the show. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Bloomington Review with me and Mr. Pillar tonight. Of course, as we mentioned a little bit ago, if you're catching us Friday night, we've got Reds coverage right here on WGCL Radio. That's right after the show when they are at Cleveland. If you're catching us on Saturday morning, stay tuned. Your Money with David Hayes is right after the show. And local estate planning attorney Lance Like is going to be on the program, if I'm not mistaken. So a full hour of estate planning tips and information there for our listeners. Mr. Pillar, though, the forecast.
Jim, it is a beautiful Friday night. Everyone out there, you know that. Keep that radio turned on for the Reds because it's time to start talking about summer. With the temperatures tonight, partly cloudy, low around 50. Saturday, mostly sunny, high around 75. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 57. Sunday is race day. A chance for showers with thunderstorms also possible after 2 p.m. Mostly cloudy, high near 77. We get into Monday. Temperatures go up. Chances for rain go up. Best way to stay up to date on all this is WGCLradio.com for all your weather all the time.
We forgot a very important sports announcement. The Dolls and Kickballs team is headed to the semifinals.
Oh my goodness.
Next Thursday night.
Can people still get tickets for that?
You know what? It is standing room only. Yeah, when you're at a park, it's all you do is you stand and watch.
No actually, seats up there. And they bring your own seat.
They hadn't mowed. So last night was a little bit of a challenge in getting the ball down to
good teams adjust.
We
Jim.
Did 20-2 was good our final teams score. Adjust. So we take on the number 3 team next week, which we should beat, and we'll take on the number 1 team, which we will hopefully beat.
Wow. Okay.
So anyway, that's my upcoming plan.
There's also some a lot of other great local sports this weekend. Baseball is always in action. So North South Edgewood, check that out. Softball is into the sectional time. Girls tennis, boys golf, they're heading into their tournaments. And then track, Bloomington North did real well with the track. And then, of course, we've got some local studs at Bloomington South, Anthony Williams and the 2 mile, just crazy. Anthony's great kid. Larry Williams, good guy, the head coach over at South. Anthony's going to Notre Dame. And then our guy Deacon Voles, the national leader in pole vault for all high school athletes. Deacon is hopefully going to make another run to the state final. So weather should be good on Saturday for that. So check out all those schools' websites and the local papers to find out when people are playing and where. So, yeah. Hey, next week, Jim's last week of school, as we talked about here in MCCSC. And the bittersweet part of that is some great, great people are hanging it up. And so just a little shout-out to great friends, Doug Waltz, who's the principal at Summit Elementary School, been in the MCCSC as a principal since 1985. He was at Broadview and opened Summit Elementary when Broadview closed down. And Doug's retiring after over 40 years in education. Bruce Colston, principal at the Academy of Science and Entrepreneurship, and was a longtime educator over at IU, also retiring. Shannon Carroll Fry at Arlington Heights Elementary School, moving on to Indianapolis, leaving that principal's job. And then, of course, lots of other great teachers all over the district leaving teaching after devoting a combined over 1,000 years to educating kids in our community. So cool stuff. These people have all earned this and deserve this, and just wish them all the best.
Well, they absolutely do. I haven't heard if there's a lot coming from my old alma mater, Edgewood High School, but I know there's a few that are retiring there as well. And a quick shout out also to Ellie Warren, our Bloomington lady, Julie Warren's little girl.
How exciting was that?
She was awarded the best lemonade at the Lemonade Day celebration earlier this week. So congratulations to her. The pink fizzy was a hit.
Yay, Julie Warren, and yay, Ellie. Great job.
Yep. Mr. Pillar, the door is always open.
I appreciate that.
We want to see you as often as possible.
And I hope to make it happen.
All right. And happy again belated birthday to you and your
wife.
I
appreciate that, my friend.
Have a great, safe Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Get some barbecue, get some family time in, and soak up a little sun. Stay out of the poison ivy.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
That's all I can say. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.